consider the second division we have introduced last Monday. I mean, the LLH acquisition, also called Chorvetsky. Which is similar to the previous case, with the important difference that in this case A must be Hermitian positive definite. And the matrix L, besides being lower triangular, must have main entries L sub II real and strictly positive. It is simple to see that if L where these requirements exist, then A must be Hermitian, which is natural. And also positive definite, since we see immediately that if we consider the quadratic form XHA by X, it becomes XHLLHX if you set LHX. Y, you have YH by Y. Y is different from the zero vector, so you have the scalar product of a vector of a zero vector by itself is the same thing as the square of the Euclidean norm, which is in this case strictly positive. So, if we consider a form of this type, necessarily it makes an Hermitian positive definite matrix. But we want to see that in the other sense, if we start from A, Hermitian positive definite, then there exists also in this case unique an L matrix of this form, which fulfills this equation. We could follow the same proof by induction as before, but it is simpler to use the fact that if A is positive definite, then it admits the factorization Fu. Why? Because we have seen, I think one month ago, that is, if A is positive definite, then also its matrices leading principal minus A sub K are all positive definite too. And a positive definite matrix is non-singular.
As a consequence, LU exists.
So positive definite. Also its principle, leading principle, all principal minimums, in particular leading principal minimums, are positive definite.
Positive definite implies
non-singular. Non-singular, the previous theorem.
So LU is unique.
So we can start by from we can start from this factorization of A, we call for clarity the matrix of type L, we call it M instead of L. A is M by U is writable as I follow the same notation if I find it. Yes. I can write the upper triangular matrix U as its diagonal. D is the diagonal of U, that is the diagonal formed by the entries U sub II to Fn, multiplied by D to the minus 1 by U. So this is diagonal, and this is a is again an upper triangular matrix. Why we do this? In order to have an upper triangular matrix, which property is enjoyed by this upper triangular matrix? Its diagonal entries, which value have? If I have an example, let U be this matrix, I can write it as the diagonal matrix made up with its diagonal multiplied by this matrix. It is simply 1 over 2, 0, 1. This is D, this is D minus the inverse of D. This matrix has necessarily entries equal to 1 along its diagonal. It's made simply because we have extracted these two numbers, we have put them on the diagonal D. So here we must have one valued entries. We call this matrix, according to this notation, R. R is defined as D to the minus 1 U. In this way, we can write again A as M D R. But A is Hermitian, and A to H is R H B H M H. The first was an L factorization, we started from this. We have found now another LU factorization, because the matrix R to the H is lower triangular with ones along its diagonal. Since it is the conjugate transpose of R that was made in this way. So we recognize here again an L U factorization, but the factorization LU is unique. This means that M must be equal to R to H. We write again, so A N M D instead of R, we can write M to the H. Now this situation M D, the conjugate transpose of M. From this formula, we see immediately that D is Hermitian positive definite. In which way we see this? We can write again this, bringing M and M to the H to the left hand side, and we have the inverse of M by A by the inverse of M to the H, and here only D is left. So we see that D is a positive definite matrix A pre-multiplied by a matrix and post-multiplied by the conjugate transpose of the same matrix. This is true because the operators inversion and transpose conjugation can be exchanged. So this matrix and this matrix are one, the transpose, the conjugate transpose of the other. So if we consider, I don't write this, it's quite simple. If we consider the quadratic form associated with this matrix, we see that this form is positive. But this is diagonal, permission, positive definite, means that all this means that all these properties mean that B is a diagonal matrix made up of positive numbers. We have all these diagonal, these numbers that are all strictly positive. They are real since D is Hermitian, and they are positive since D is positive definite. We conclude. We have arrived at this formula. Who is M? The idea is, since M has already the L form, the idea is to split V as the product of two diagonal matrices, both equal to F. In the simpler, in the simplest way, F is made with the square roots of the D sub II. So we can write finally M by F by F by M H and see that M by F is a matrix L which has all the properties required.
Multiplied by its conjugate transpose.
F by M to the H is L to the H. Why L has the required properties? Because it is triangular, it is hexagonal, and the entries along the diagonal are the corresponding entries of M, which are equal to 1 because M was an L matrix of an LU factorization, multiplied by the corresponding entries of F, which are the square roots of the corresponding entries of D. The uniqueness of M is a consequence of the uniqueness of the L U factorization and of the fact that we consider the positive square root. We could have considered minus F or also a mixed combination of plus or minus square roots of the diagonal entries of D and F, a factorization of this kind. But in that case, we would not have the positivity of the entries, the diagonal entries of L, which are the same as the diagonal entries of this matrix. Okay. Which is the reason why we consider and give some relevance to this factorization? The reason is that if we factorize the symmetric or Hermitian matrix as LU, we don't see any advantage from the symmetry on the L and U factors of A. For simplicity, we consider the real case asymmetric, also positive definite. L and U do not have any evident property inherited by symmetry. If we consider this latter factorization, L by LH, we call the L factor M because it is, we have seen that it is not the same. We have only about n to the square over 2 entries that must be computed.
instead of about n to the square, in this case, we have the parameters in terms of which the matrix is represented according to the fact that also the matrix A, which was symmetric, could be represented with n to the square half the parameters. The method which is strongly connected with this factorization, the Cholesky method, has as first step the computation of F. How can L be computed? Can be computed simply using the definition of the factorization reformulated in terms of elements or entries of A and of L. I mean this, you consider as usual the structural scheme of the matrix we are dealing with. This is symmetric, so we can consider also the lower part. We obtain from the factorization the following relation connecting, involving the entries of A of L. We are on the lower triangle part, so E is greater or equal than J. So we have the row E and the column J. This product, row by column product, stops at the column J because J is smaller than I. So we can write sum for K from 1 to G, row E, column K. Here we must write the entry of the second matrix, row K and column J. But the entry with these indices is the conjugate of L, J, sub J, K. This is simply the formulation of the factorization in terms of elements. How can we use all these equations in the right order to compute all the entries of L? First, we consider the case that we are on the diagonal of A, E equal to J, obtaining AJJ, the sum. Okay. Here we stop for the reason we will see now to J minus 1. JK conjugate plus the last term that is LJJ by LJJ conjugate. These products are absolute values squared on the complex numbers. Write the same sums using the absolute values. And we plan to use this equality on the main principal entries to compute the corresponding entries, principal entries in this case, of the matrix N. So we are here L sub JJ, which is real. So we can use immediately the square root of what? AJJ minus this term. Sum over k something similar to this can be made for the non-principal entries, the off-diagonal entries, as they are called. For I strictly greater, strictly larger than J, we use this format in this way. Again, we split the second side. We have A, E, A, I, J equal to, we consider the sum up to J minus 1, the same numbers. The last is L I sub I J by L JJ, also without the conjugation, because this is, we know this is real. We use this equation to compute, the idea is always the same, the corresponding, you see the same indices, the corresponding entry of F. We use the explicit formula for A sub ij to compute, in order to compute the entry with the same indices of the matrix F. And we obtain, this is the formula in this second case, L ij equal to 1 over LJJ by A sub IJ minus this sum L I K L J K conjugate. There is necessary the conjugation.
This is for we have
in the strictly lower triangular part.
Is it true that we can compute all the answers of L using one of these two formulas? We see this beginning, the order, the right order is essential, beginning from the position 1, 1. For the position 1, 1, we must refer to this formula. This sum is not present because the upper bound is 0, j minus 1, 1 minus 1. Well, simply, the square root of a sum 1, 1. This is a positive number, because a is positive definite. After, we can follow several paths in computing the matrix. One of these paths is to compute column by column the off diagonal elements of the lower triangular part of F. I mean, all the entries of the type with indices i1 of these, which are given by one over L 1, 1, which I have already computed it, which multiplies the corresponding entry of A1i. Also in this case, this sum is not present. For E, which goes from 2 up to N. Then, I go on, consider the second column, the lower part of the second column, L22. We just see the formula for L22 is of this type, square root of A22, the corresponding entry of A. Now this sum is present with only one term, that is J is 2, K is 1, the absolute value squared, and so on the other. Using the other form. The quantity under the square root must be positive. This is assured by the positive definiteness of the matrix A. I could also think to apply the Cholesky method to an omission matrix without being sure that the matrix is positive definite. If the matrix is not positive definite, I will find a diagonal entry of L, which to be computed would oblige me to make the square root of a negative or zero argument. So, also, if you know that to check that a metric, an omission metric is positive, it is not so simple. So, as I could use the Gauss method to see if a metric is or not singular, I could use the Cholesky method to see if a matrix is or not positive definite. Some comments, some interesting comments. Maybe you remember that the multiplicative complexity of Gauss, or Gauss elimination method, is O of n. To the 3 with coefficient 1 over 3. I mean, I write this. Complexity, multiplicative complexity, that is, I count all the multiplications and divisions. Gauss means O of n to the 3 over 3. Cholesky, it could be easily seen that n to the 3 over 6, that is the half of the previous complexity, are sufficient to compute the solution. This is quite satisfying, because I have a matrix which can be defined with half the parameters with regard to the general case, so I am glad to see that I can compute the solution in half the amount that was required by the general in the general case. The stability, we will see better the next time, that in general Gauss is not stable. It is not so complicated to construct, to find simple examples in all matrices for which the Gauss elimination produces relevant errors. In general, is not stable. Cholesky, in general, is stable. Why? For Cholesky, we are able to check this property now. At the beginning of today's lecture, I have said to you that stability is in some sense equivalent to a small group of numbers during computation. In a synthetic way, we can state this. Stability and small growth of numbers computed during the implementation of the method are the same thing. In the case of Cholesky,
If we look again at the formulas we have used before, consider the diagonal case. It is we have A sub A. Whole sum
1 the absolute value square.
See that this was the diagonal case.
So we see this number as the sum of
other positive numbers. And this implies that all of these numbers is less or equal than their sum. Is LJK module absolute value square is the indices where J. This bound I can also rewrite this considering the square roots of both sides. So, all the entries of L are bounded in absolute value by I can pick up the maximum of the square roots of the diagonal entries of A. This means that since the L, J, K are the numbers obtained during computation, they cannot grow too much with respect to the magnitude order of the data, of the elements of the entries of A. So we can state the stability in this sense. If I tell all the truth for positive definite matrices, it can be shown that also Gauss is stable. We have seen that Cholesky is stable for the reason. For an analogous reason, it could be shown that also Gauss is stable for Hermitian positive definite matrices. So this is not an exclusive property of the Cholesky method with regard to the positive definite case. The third factorization. Third method is left for next time, fortunately. I can say now that the third factorization the QR position to prove its existence we will need some some particular matrices which will be necessary to express and therefore also to compute the two matrices of the factorization. I mean the so-called elementary matrices. I don't give now the definition, I say only that they will be necessary for the QR method, and they are useful also to re-express again in another way the LU factorization. Can be used to express and to compute these things. They are not simply a theoretical tool. The factors of LU and LU and Q are we will start from this next month. Questions? Well, see you Monday.